Congregation, I father the Lord's Day 51 of the Heidelberg Catechism is very fitting for a baptism service. So let us look at Lord's Day 51 on page 86. Question 126, which is the fifth petition? And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. That is, be pleased for the sake of Christ's blood not to impute to us poor sinners our transgressions, nor that depravity which always cleaves to us, even as we feel this evidence of thy grace in us, that it is our firm resolution from the heart to forgive our neighbor. So far, a prayer for forgiveness. The theme for this morning, a prayer for forgiveness. Two thoughts. In the first place, God forgiving us. Think of baptism. God forgiving us. And secondly, we forgiving others. Because it says, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. So again, a prayer for forgiveness, God forgiving us, and we forgiving others. Congregation, young friends, a few years ago, I spoke with a lady of the Church of God, and she confessed to be a Christian. She confessed to have her sins forgiven. We talked about that. And then she said, therefore, I don't sin anymore. I was surprised to hear that. I don't sin anymore? What do you mean? You're not like the Apostle Paul, carnal, I'm carnal, sold under sin. She said, no, I'm complete in Christ. I'm perfect in the Lord Jesus Christ. He has done all the work. I'm perfect now. So I said, yes, the Lord gives forgiveness to his people. That is perfect. But you are not perfect. We are not perfect. Christ is perfect. Forgiveness is perfect. But I am not. She looked at me and said, but the Bible says so. The Bible says I am perfect in Christ. I'm a saint. You know, the problem here is that many do not distinguish between justification and sanctification. Justification meaning forgiveness, making just, making a right relationship. But not sanctification, it's something that happens in me. And God's children are perfect, yes, in the eyes of God. In that relationship with him. The sins have all been forgiven. There's nothing left. But they are still sinners. And the work of sanctification is not perfect. Although they have a new heart, that's just the beginning. Although they have a new heart and although they fight against all sins, there's so many weaknesses yet. And they have to fight and to wage the war. So it is important to distinguish between sanctification and justification. And this prayer refers to justification. And holy baptism refers to both, to justification and sanctification. Think about that. God's children are cleansed and washed in the blood of the Savior. And therefore they have no sins left. They have received 100% forgiveness of their sins. So they are perfect in that sense. I'm not saying that God's children always feel forgiven. Far from that. But from the Lord's perspective, they all are forgiven completely. There's no condemnation at all for them that are in Christ Jesus, who live according to the Spirit and not to the flesh. There's a difference in the assurance of forgiveness. Some feel more sure about that than others do. But although there's a difference in assurance of forgiveness, there's no difference in forgiveness itself. The little ones in faith, the more experienced ones, they are all equally forgiven. Completely forgiven, perfect in the Lord Jesus, knowing it or not, being conscious or not. But it's true for them. They still struggle with sanctification, but they have been imputed. That's the word used here, right? That is, be pleased for the sake of Christ's blood not to impute to us poor sinners our transgressions, but to have the imputation of Christ. I'm sure you have heard about that. Imputation. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. Or look at Romans 4:22, and therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. What does that mean, imputed? Well, that means that righteousness has been ascribed to God's children. That righteousness has been transferred to them. That it has been accredited to them. It means that they have no righteousness themselves. And even not worked in their hearts. But they have accounted righteousness. No righteousness in the heart, but there's righteousness in relationship. Outside of self, there's a relationship that is perfect. It does not mean that the pollution is taken away completely, but the guilt is taken away. That is the opposite of what Rome teaches. They state that God's children become partially righteous. Partially righteous within themselves. The Bible doesn't teach that. How wrong. But how do God's children receive that imputed righteousness? Through baptism? Like Rome teaches? That through baptism something is imputed to them? Something is given in their hearts? No. Not by the sacraments. Not by good works either. But by faith. Knowing that the man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. No good works. But by faith. But keep in mind that God's child does not merit salvation with believing either. Believing is not a work. True believing is that you cannot do anything yourself anymore. You are bankrupt. You're lost. You cannot change that. All that feeling of hopelessness. Do you know that? The feeling of not being forgiven and not being able to do anything about it. But what else is believing then? Feeling lost and yet hoping that the Lord someday would hear? Yes, it is a waiting, There's a waiting people, but that waiting people waits in faith. And that faith might be weak, but that faith is certain. If I touch the hem of his garment, I will be whole, the woman said. Do you see that woman approaching Jesus? She went and touched the great physician. And great is thy faith, the Lord Jesus said. The faith is crucial. That true believing is not doing anything, but rather stop working. Being in the midst of death and seeking salvation outside of self and another. Many come close to the door. Many come close to the door of salvation. They feel to a certain extent their sins like Judas did. Judas knew his sins, didn't he? But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So there we see the explanation of that. But as many as received him, what is it receiving him? Many as received him, even to them that believe on his name. Believing is receiving, not doing something, but receiving. You know, some of God's children are very clearly acquitted in their conscience. They have a very clear understanding of justification, of being spoken free. Many more know something of it, something of that justifying faith, of having that imputed unto us. Have you come and believed this way? Did you see how far we are? Are we doubting that, are you doubting that you're welcome and that you've sinned too much? Do you first want to have some money in your hands to pay with? I hope you see your own unwillingness, your inability to save yourself. I hope you do not want to deceive yourself either. So pray. Forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And that believing is not working, but relying, resting, leaning, trusting his God. Come unto me, ye that are heavy laden, but I will give you rest. And baptism in tax water, few drops of water. It's enough. The blood of Jesus is sufficient. So again, in justification, nothing changes within. But our state for eternity changes. Imputed righteousness. Luther called it a foreign righteousness. Foreign. Not weird, foreign. Something of another world. Something so strange. Not from our world, but from the other world. Foreign righteousness. That Christ's righteousness is imputed to me. Because two things need to be changed, right? My sins need to be taken away, that's one. And the righteousness of Christ needs to be given. So to take something out, to bring something in. In that relationship. But yes, we read in Colossians 2, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. You are. Refers to the whole church. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. Perfect. The Bible talks about that. And yet, though God's children are perfectly imputed with the righteousness and are no children of wrath anymore, but beloved ones, yet they have a sinful heart. They're an old man, a new heart, also an old man. That justification is perfect, but the sanctification is not. the blessing. When our sins have been blotted out, when our sins are out of the book, you can't find them anymore. But the blessing when the Lord throws all those sins behind his back, won't remember them anymore. And I would sink to the bottom of the sea, the Bible says. But the blessing is as far as the west is from the east. So far has he removed our transgressions from us, taking them away like a morning cloud. Nothing left. The opposite of that is true for them that are not saved. Those sins are not gone. Those sins are not at the bottom of the sea. Those sins are not far away from them. The sins are still on them. And not only some, but all. Justification is perfect. And being not justified means that nothing is forgiven. Can you live with that, parents, beloved ones? Can you live with not having your sins forgiven? How does that feel? I remember an example of someone driving on the sea to sky highway and had problems with his car. So he couldn't continue. And someone stopped and helped him and fixed his car. And that man was so happy. He was a very rich man. So he asked him for his name and his address. And he found out later on that his mortgage was taken care of. Was completely paid off. And he was surprised about that. So no debt left. And so the Lord Jesus takes care of his people. He takes the guilt away. That does not change the person, but it changes that there's no guilt left anymore. So that is the justification by faith. It is the justification to God works as an imputed righteousness. So that's why we ask for it. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. The Church of God, God's people, they keep asking. Some say they don't have to ask anymore, because they have been perfectly forgiven. Right? So if something is perfectly forgiven, why ask for forgiveness? Why ask, forgive us our debts? Well, God's children are perfectly forgiven, but they keep sinning. And that's why they need forgiveness again. I know forgiveness is forgiveness for the past sins and today's sins and future sins, but yet they need to be forgiven. They need to be confessed. And so the Church of God is asking the Lord in that fifth petition to take their guilt away. That is, be pleased for the sake of Christ's blood, not for my sake, not for sacrament's sake, not for good work's sake, but for Christ's sake, Christ's blood. O Lord, to not impute to poor sinners our transgressions, our sins, nor that depravity which always cleaves to us. See that? So, that forgiveness is perfect. But something cleaves to us. We cannot shake it. That depravity is always there, still after receiving grace. to keep God's people poor and dependent and humble, so that they would not be proud and say, I'm a child of God, I'm finished. Forgiveness. But it's not only saying, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debts, but also as we forgive our debtors. Our second thought. Congregations, sanctification is still in you. Justification is, forgive us our debts. Sanctification is as we forgive our debtors. We do that. We have changed. We don't hold a grudge anymore. We have a new heart. And therefore, we forgive our debtors. We are able to do that. And we, in fact, do it. Time and again, we forgive our debtors. So, I think when you talk about sanctification, one of the most important things in sanctification is this point. Forgiveness. You say, why do you think that? That this is one of the most important things in sanctification, to forgive people. Well, when you read Matthew 6, that's part of the Sermon on the Mount, the Lord Jesus teaches the Lord's Prayer. So it's in there. And then right after the Lord Jesus has taught the Lord's Prayer, he just takes a theme out of the Lord's Prayer and elaborates on that. So in Matthew 6, you see the Lord's Prayer, and then right after it says, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Because if you don't forgive the trespass to others, you don't do that, then apparently you're not saved. Then you never knew anything about it. That is a mark of not being saved. So the Lord Jesus has a real strong emphasis on that. He taught in the Lord's Prayer, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, and then he repeats it afterwards. No other piece is repeated in the Lord's Supper. This piece is. Hard, huh? You know, I don't know how you feel. I don't know what happened. I don't know what people have done to you. It's hard, huh? Can be really hard for people when they feel forced to forgive. And they feel, I must forgive, and there's something in there that they just can't. So hard. And there are people really struggling with that. So there have been times that people force this to people's throat. You have to forgive, you just should forgive, and there was no compassion with them that they couldn't. And maybe now we have swung to the other side and say, you know, that's true. You should forgive, but you know, if you can, that's fine. Maybe something too bad happened. We understand you cannot forgive. But you know, it's in the Bible. We cannot take it on. It's in the Bible with very strong words. But if you forgive not men the trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. It's in the Bible. So we, whatever happened to us, however difficult it might be to forgive people, we have to come to that point ourselves, that we are sinners. You know Matthew 18, right? Matthew 18, the chapter about church censure and so on. And the Apostle Peter asked, Lord Jesus, how many times do I need to forgive them? Seven times or so? Just repeatedly, seven times, forgive, 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 seven times? Always forgiving, seven times? That doesn't sound right, does it? And Lord Jesus said, no, not seven times. 70 times seven. So although the disciples had a really hard time forgiving and repeatedly forgiving and often forgiving, Lord Jesus didn't say, well, you know, we understand if you can't. But Lord Jesus said, 70 times seven. That's quite something, right? So that means your whole life needs to be forgiving, forgiving, forgiving. In church, in marriage, at work, in school, in the care home. People are hurting, and people are hurting one another. We do it all the time. We get hurt, and we need to talk about those things, hopefully. But forgiveness is mandatory. We even have a parable about that in the Bible. A parable on this subject. Right after what we have quoted from Matthew 18. There was a man, a rich man, who had given one of his subjects some money to as a loan. And when the day of reckoning came, he asked the money back. And that man, he didn't have it. So the owner, the master, said, I need those 10,000 talents back. 10,000 talents, that's quite a bag of silver coins. It's a lot of money. It's an amazing lot of money. Millions, we would say. And he said, I can't pay. So his master said, then we will sell you and your wife and your children and all you have and until you have paid everything. Because he was kind of hard-nosed. You know, he was this cry. Please, please. And then that master had compassion in his heart and felt sorry for him and said, okay, I forgive you everything. I forgive. I forgive those 10,000 talents of silver. He was so happy about that. She went home. And someone owed him 100 pence. 10,000 talents, and now 100 pence. That's nothing. But you know, it's nothing. I don't know exactly how much it would compare to $10 or so. But he went to his subject and he said, you know, you owe me 100 pence. I don't have it, he said. I need it. And he did not let it go. He put me in prison even for that. I wanted that 100 pence back. So he was forgiven 10,000 talents. And he was not able to forgive 100 pence. So his fellow servants knew about this and told the master. He got so upset with him. And he called him in. And he yet said, you know, now you have to pay yourself. And he gave him over to the tormentors. And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. And then the application in 35, Matthew 18, 35, Lazarus. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from the heart, forgive not everyone his brother that trespasses. So, when you look at it objectively, the Lord Jesus singled this piece out from the Lord's Prayer, and that he makes it so clear and writes a whole parable about that, so that it's a very important piece of sanctification. So that's why he inserts that in the Lord's Prayer. So you pray, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. So the Lord Jesus does not want us to be proud of that and say, Lord, I'm such a forgiving person, so now the Lord can forgive me too, right? I earn that. No. But what it means is, Lord, I'm not a hypocrite. Forgive us our debts, Lord, as we forgive our debtors. I'm consistent. I know myself. I'm undeserving myself. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. So do not impute to us poor sinners our transgressions, nor that depravity which always cleaves to us, even as we feel this evidence of thy grace in us. That is sanctification in us. That it is our firm resolution. Can you repeat that? Our firm resolution from the heart to forgive our neighbor. So why is such an emphasis on forgiveness? Why is such an emphasis on you forgiving your neighbor? Because the whole world needs to see it. That forgiveness is the theme in Christianity. That's the most important theme ever. Forgiveness. God forgiving people. And people forgiving one another. So, Thomas Watson writes that this is actually a comfort. A comfort that God's people are able to forgive others. And they feel that evidence in their own heart. They say, Lord, I cannot deny it. Well, I am really willing to forgive anyone. Think of Stephanus. He was stoned to death. And while he was stoned to death, he prayed for the people doing it. Think of the Lord Jesus on the cross. Father, forgive them, because they don't know what they're doing. Think of Joseph forgiving his brothers that they had sold him. Think of David, King David, who has forgiven Shimei, who was really hard on him. Think of Solomon, who has forgiven Adonijah, his brother. I know it's hard to forgive characters, consequences. I know. And yet, we have to be brought to that place to forgive. And let me say a few more things about that. You know how we need to forgive? Any idea? Well, the same way as God forgives. Same way. We need to forgive in the first place from the heart. Not just with your mouth, from the heart. The Bible says. Secondly, we need to forgive fully. Everything. Complete forgiveness. Right? Is God forgiveness not from the heart? Is God forgiveness not a complete forgiveness? We need to forgive from the heart and completely. And the Lord forgives often. 70 times 7. So we also need to forgive often. From the heart, fully, often. Need some help? 6 points to help you. In the first place, consider your own wrongs towards God. I think that would be really helpful. To consider that. How we have offended our Maker, who has made us right and good and in his image. To realize that we have grieved our Maker to the heart. Start there. Think about that. That could make it so much easier to forgive yourself if you know your own sins against the holy and righteous and good-doing God. So unreasonable. Secondly, see God's hand in what people do to you. And people do something to you. See God's hand in that. Like David, right? Like Shimei. He said, you know, let him go because he's cursing me, but God has given that curse in his heart to me. It's God. So how can David say that? Why does he not condemn Shimei? Because he knows that there's also a God behind it. Now that he agrees with that, it's still sin. But it's God who's reigning. In the third place, ask for more faith. Because then the Lord Jesus told the disciples, forgive 70 times 7. They said, oh, increase our faith. Right. You need faith for that and more. And have it increased. So ask the Lord to increase that faith. If you have faith, to increase it. If you don't have the faith, well, you need to believe in it in order to forgive. In the fourth place, think of what you have done to others. You know, not only towards God, what you've done to others, yourself. Never hurt people? They don't have to forgive you for anything. Are you so good yourself? So list that also for yourself. Think of what you have done to others. In the fifth place, be humble. You know, we are so unworthy. We need to find that low place. And that's the evidence of God's grace in us. There's such a low place that we can forgive anyone. And in the sixth place, don't take vengeance, but give that over to the Lord. Let the Lord just be justice, do justice. Let the Lord do it right. He has said that he is the avenger. So let him be the avenger, and don't retaliate ever yourself, ever. No retaliation is allowed in any way or form, but by the government. So again, those 6 points, consider your own wrong towards God. See God's hand in what people do to you. Ask for the increase of faith. Think what you've done to others. Be humble. Leave vengeance with the Lord. Because if we get bitter, that you can't forgive, it's too much, you can't handle that, then you defile others. Look diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. Fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up that trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. So, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. Fail of the grace of God. You can't lose God's grace, can you? No. But when people are so bitter and can't forgive, there's evidence that they never had grace. So, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up, trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. It's kind of an oil on the water. It spreads. It is ruins things. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Put it away. That is sanctification. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men the trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Forgive us our debts. As we forgive our debtors, we feel the evidence of thy grace in us. That is our firm resolution from the heart to forgive our neighbor. So I invite you this morning to forgive. To forgive everyone. Can you? You have to. From the heart. Fully. Often. Do it. Be humble. Say, Lord, I'm not any better. And I need forgiveness myself. And if you cannot forgive people, don't count on God's forgiveness. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. You can't pray that if you can't forgive. You place yourself outside God's grace. Now I realize that when bad things have happened, that even God's children sometimes struggle with forgiveness. And that those thoughts of retaliation return. And that feeling kind of, I'll get back to you. I'd like to do something to you. But you know, those weaknesses are there. But time and again, God's people are brought back to their place of true humility, and they can forgive again. Maybe not trust again. Maybe not be friends again. But they can forgive, and they can let go. A few drops of water on the forehead of your baby. But you know that reminds us of that stream of foul transgressions And that blood of the Lord Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin. It's forgiven everything. But you have to forgive too. Justification, forgiveness is 100%. Sanctification is not 100%. I know. It's depravity. It always cleaves to us. But yet, although it cleaves to us, yet there is that firm resolution to forgive. There'll be something to come to the gate of heaven when you die. And the Lord will say, yes, you ask for forgiveness, but you have not forgiven yourself. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. You will not be let in if you have not become, by God's grace, a forgiving person. Because God wants to make very clear there is forgiveness within. He's serious about that. And there is forgiveness within, and it needs to appear in the life of his people. Amen.